Welcome to another week of Radio Melee, and what a week it is. We've got a return guest and one of my favorite people in the community who's really funny and really cool and good at stuff. It's the Cheat, Mikey. So you always, I say Mikey.
You always do that when I come on the show. You always, it's always just a heap of praise. Well, I don't know. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Well, I don't
it.
Do it for everybody. I'm wearing one of my favorite Summit shirts, by the way.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
For the occasion. The remix. Dude, yeah. So how was, I mean, I guess like, you know, we'll start by, you know, for people that aren't aware, you know, this past weekend was the final, how do I word it? Final Summit event, really, right?
Yep. Like,
it was Ultimate Summit 6, and LD kind of announced, like, hey, this is the last thing due to financial issues and stuff. And yeah, how are you feeling? It must be, you know, must be a weird time.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, obviously very emotional. I think Beyond the Summit is it's a pretty special place, I'm not gonna lie. You know, everyone was kind of let go a couple of weeks ago technically, but everyone came out for Ultimate Summit 6, you know, whether they were working the event or not. Zane flew out from New York.
Oh yeah.
just to be there, and you know, he was doing a little bit of work. Like, he wrote the button content piece that we showed. I'm not sure if you guys saw that, but so he had a little bit of a hand in it, but it was really just you know, everyone coming together for one last ride. So you know, really great to go out among friends. You know, that was really nice. And I think it was a pretty good tournament. I think everything ran pretty smoothly. You know, I was happy with the reception from everyone. And Minecraft Steve won, which we were just talking about. We all think is funny and cool, but I'm not sure that everybody should have taken it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it's funny. I think it's cool. I think Akola is really good. But yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, Ultimate players hate it, and I do try to have some empathy, because, like, yeah, I think the best parallel is, like, kind of how FGC people, like, really liked Wobbling, and they'd be like, Wobbling's sick, this is crazy, and it's like, and, like, Melee players would be like, you just don't, you're just saying that because you don't have any skin in the game. Like, if you got wobbled, you would feel
exactly
that way.
Exactly.
And so I'm not getting Steved on, so no skin in the game. I don't know. But anyway. I did watch pretty much all of Saturday and Sunday, and a little bit before them too. I mean, crazy results. So that was
the, oh yeah,
bit. But yeah, it was cool to have LD on the mic at the end of it all. That was kind of nice. I'm glad he, I feel like he hasn't been, you know, he's not usually front and center at least at the Smash summits.
No, not really. And even, you know, we talked about a little bit beforehand, like what we wanted that ending of the stream to be like. And he was very insistent that we, you know, kind of keep it brief and keep it community focused. You know, I think that's what he is about, and that's what he's always been about. So, you know, I think that was reflected in what he said. It was, you know, not just like gratitude for, you know, us being a part of the community or anything like that. It was like, you know, you guys are doing this for each other, and that was something that BTS got to be a part of, and we are, you know, humbled and appreciative of having that experience. So yeah, I think it was really nice to hear from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. How you feeling, PP?
I mean, it's, you know, hearing that is just it really just speaks to how much Summit cared. And, you know, of course I was only at one, but I talked to staff numerous times and everything like that, always had a wonderful experience. So really the passion and the love and really the respect, because, you know, they were outside of Melee when they first started and outside of Smash when they first started. But all that really shines through very obviously. And that's really heartwarming. And to take on so much of our talent, when, you know, normally a lot of people in our scene have to go to other esports or just work outside of gaming to get what they need. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. So I really love that respect that they showed us throughout and even in the end. And I'm just wondering, I'm wondering what trying to think, there's like, I have a few different questions and I'm trying to figure out which one feels right here. I think I'll just go with, what did Summit mean to you, Mikey, Mr. Cheat?
Oh gosh. You know, I always kind of frame my work in the community in such a way that I feel like being a part of a community like this helps people, you know, tangibly. It helped me at a time when I was kind of, I don't know, struggling to figure out what I wanted to do and struggling to, frankly, like, make friends with people during college. Bobby, I think, had a really good clip that I saw somebody post a few days ago where he said that, you know, sometimes you're like trying to find a lunch table, you know, and you can't like decide who to sit with. And Melee is the lunch table that like invites you over with open arms, you know? And I think that's really cool. And being a part of that is an experience that I want to share with as many people as possible. And if there's anything that I hope people took away from Summit, it's finding like a little piece of somewhere to belong. You know, I think Summit was kind of like the ultimate celebration that we had in our community of that sort of, you know, culture. And even down to like how we designed the set is trying to cultivate that. And, you know, stuff like having the microphone behind the couches, like what we wanted to build was something where it felt like, you know, these are people who are a part of a community that you can also be a part of, and have a meaningful experience. So yeah, I was a fan of Summits for 5 years before I started working there. And then, obviously was lucky enough to work for a year and a half at the company. And all throughout that time, I think that's sort of what Summit has represented to me.
Dude, it's even like, you know, the early, I would say in the early days, it wasn't like necessarily as, you know, towards the end, and not even towards the end, like I would say as early as like maybe, I don't know what, Smash Summit like 5, 6, 7, et cetera, that kind of stretch. I felt like, when I say we, I mean like Melee community members, we started really looking at, you know, Beyond the Summit as like, everyone who works there is just like a really good friend. And at first, it was like the first Summit, we didn't really know, right? It was like kind of like, oh, what is this? This is a very new thing. But even as early as like Smash Summit, like literally the first one, it was like the level of care and the level of kind of detail that and I guess respect for the community that, you know, was kind of exhibited was really, you know, on another level. It was very, very special. So yeah, I mean, I'll always look at, I really do. Yeah, I don't know. I really hope that, you know, everyone at, cause like, I mean, it feels like there's so many talented people who worked at Beyond the Summit. I really hope that in some fashion, some of them will be able to continue to, you know, contribute to projects that I get to be a part of, because it's been so great working with so many of them, such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. And I guess I'll take this opportunity too, just while we're kind of reminiscing and stuff, to all the people in the chat. You know, if you want to talk to us, if you got any questions for myself, PP, the Cheat, about anything ranging from Summit to Minecraft Steve to whatever the hell you want, exclamation mark Radio Melee to join the Discord server. And it's basically as simple as, I think there's a README channel that you got to like click on the thing to get the role so you can talk. And then once you do that, you can ask us any question you want.
I just went through this. Yeah, you do the Golden Guardians emoji in the README channel, and then you do the Smash logo emote in the Assign Roles channel, and then you'll be good.
There's a
You gotta do that. Yeah.
It's a two-parter. Okay. There you go. Yeah, I guess we revamped it kind of recently, so you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I don't know, PP. You competed right at the first Summit?
The first one, yes. I was at the very first one, and I was asked to go to a couple more later by staff. We had some fun ideas, but I was only at the first one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you remember? But this was, I mean, I guess this was like 7 or 8 years ago at this point.
Yeah, that was late 2015, and that tournament was interesting. You know, I roomed with Plup. I'd never really talked to Plup that much before. And
wow.
And I
didn't know that.
I went and, you know, had a lot of interesting sets. And I don't know how much content we did for that one. That was a while ago, so I don't remember if we even did any there. But I remember what really stuck out to me in terms of how the overall event was how much more time you had to talk to some of the top players, because in an open bracket event, you know, maybe you're in a VIP room, but there's just so many people and stuff's going on, and maybe you're alone preparing for your match, and then you're playing your match, and then, you know, whatever. But here you were with people, you were in that environment. It was really different. And then I also really liked how much they were like, oh, well, we've got a stocked fridge. If there's anything you want, let us know. And we were all, I remember at the time, we're like, oh, wow, they're doing so much for us. Us little Melee players, we know, because we're used to, you know, I mean, M2K used to bus around the country for tournaments and sleep on floors and everything. And now,
and he would steal fries from your table at the Denny's, you know.
Now we had people saying, oh, hey, do you need anything? We have all this stuff. We want to get you stuff. And we're like, oh, no, we're just so happy to be here.
Yeah, Hoppin always talks about how people saw like a fridge full of water bottles and they were like, oh, my God, dude, this is next level.
Heaven on earth.
Mikey, were other scenes like that, or is it like, you know, is that like a uniquely Smasher thing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think most of the old kids, given I wasn't around for like Ultimate Summit 1 or 2, so I don't know how it was there. I think most of them had seen like Melee Summit before, so they kind of got the gist of what was going on. I know that most recently we got to do TFT Summit, which Zane Ipengu was the creative producer for, so I wasn't there, unfortunately. It was around main stage time, so it was really busy. But we got to kind of like introduce Summit to a new community, and the vibes there were really cool. I think that was it's kind of at a weird like transitional point for Teamfight Tactics, it seems like. So from what I gather, that event was sort of like it was kind of like a new chapter, and it got to start with TFT Summit, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they did a bunch of crazy stuff. Like they made them make omelets, you know, classic Summit stuff. And I think it was kind of like a first of its kind event for TFT as well. So it's fun to see new communities sort of get that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like there's been a huge, I don't know. I don't know if this is a Smasher perspective, but I feel like there's a, there's a lot of impact, that like, I think culturally, Beyond the Summit has had in our community and probably other communities, where it's like, you know, we didn't really look at content. And when I say content, I mean like, you know, for example, the skits and things around the event that aren't just the tournament itself. I feel like the level of quality has really risen. I feel like at least in the Smash community, Beyond the Summit really paved that path, right? I feel like that was, nobody was really doing that kind of stuff before Smash Summit. And then I feel like a lot of other tournaments, I mean, there have even been invitationals, like I know Gimmer did his like invitational thing that, you know, basically tried to copy the format as much as closely as possible. And you know, but even outside of that, I feel like tournaments have gotten a lot more like creative with regards to how commentary works, how, you know, video production around the event works. I don't know. I just feel like Summit was really kind of a pioneer in a lot of ways there.
Yeah, there are like a million and one regional Summit type events that pop up, you know, and they all want to do content and they all want to, you know, have couch style commentary and all that good stuff, which is, you know, it's cool. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right? That's that's what they say. And, you know, it was a great inspiration to me, obviously, like seeing all of that, you know, and being close with the people who were working on it. I remember Slime talking to me like right before he got hired to Summit, and we were like, oh, God, that's right sick.
He got hired.
Yeah. And he was like, Mikey, I don't know how they make money, but I'm going to do it and we're going to figure it out and it's going to be great. And all the stuff that, you know, I got to see up close and personal, like him and Aiden and Nick working on was very cool. And then to be a part of that myself, obviously incredible. But yeah, I think, and it's evident from what people, you know, have been saying these past couple of weeks, that it's inspired a lot of people to, you know, do creative things within their own communities.
Do you feel like, how do I word this? Yeah, I don't know. Do you feel like there's a niche now that someone ought to try to fill, or, you know, because that's kind of something that I'm sure is a lot of, on a lot of people's minds is like, okay, well, Summit did this the best, but, you know, I don't know. I feel like there's, you know, people like the invitational format, and I wonder what's next. I don't know. I don't know if you've thought about that at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think that if somebody has the resources to do it, they can, you know, it's a great thing to have. I do think people tend to undersell how much of a resource sink it is to run something like this, fly everyone out and all that stuff. I mean, Yeah, I mean, like, we heard the Ludwig Smash Invitational stuff when Hayden got on the mic at the end.
Yeah.
It was like, here's how much money we lost. It's a bit, you know, I'm not saying it has to be exactly the same. Like, you could do a lighter weight version of it, certainly. But yeah, I think part of it is just Summit and the format allows you to just get as much content on stream as possible in terms of like good competitive matches. That is sort of like the basis around which we build everything. That's like the hook that gets people to care about it. And I think that's absolutely replicable. You know, obviously there are tons of creative people in the community who can make content there. So yeah, I think that things will pop up in the future that will be, you know, maybe not the same, but still very mm-hmm. cool. I think mm-hmm. we kind of do that all the time in Melee. We surprise ourselves with the mm-hmm. with the stuff we're able to come up with in many different fields. And I think this will be no different.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Should we check out the community voice from last week, PP, or did you have anything else from Mikey before then?
I just wanted to ask real quick, since he was on the inside, and you don't have to spend a long time on this if you don't want, but I was curious, Mikey, if speaking about how we could have something else in the community's creative, what would you, do you have any suggestions for things anyone could do differently? You know, like, it's obviously we know a lot of what Summit did right, and not, this is not a fault to Summit or anything, because there were just challenges that kind of came out of nowhere. But are there any ways that anything could come up to hedge against that? Any things that could be done differently?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of thinking about this as we sort of got, like, higher in numbers. I mean, like, we ran 20 Smash and Ultimate Summits combined. That's a lot.
Yeah,
so
20. Cool.
Like, how long can you just keep, like, you know, that same format, basically? Obviously, we made small tweaks to stuff like the voting mm-hmm. system and everything, mm-hmm. but, like, how much staying power does that have? And I think we kind of got scared around the time of, like, Summit 13 a little bit, where a lot of the top players were sort of, like, a little bit more hesitant to take part in voting, which is completely understandable. Mm-hmm. I was part of a campaign and I wasn't even the one running, and it was exhausting for me.
Right.
And we got in. So, like,
yeah.
What happens if you don't, you know? That's a huge bummer, obviously. And so, like, I don't know. I was thinking about ways that we might be able to, like, sort of mitigate that. You know, one idea that comes to mind is doing something that's, like, sort of similar to LSI, where you know, you sort of have this last chance qualifier on top of the players that you have invited, but you make it like a live event where people can come and spectate, and that can sort of like offset the costs. Mm. You know, that's one variation. One thing I was thinking about for main stage, this is a free idea if anyone wants to take it. I wanted to make it the people's major, you know, instead of having people vote players in like you do at Summit, they vote on certain things like the rule set and the broadcast and the format and all that stuff.
Oh, dude.
So I don't know why nobody's done that before. You know,
what's like, an example of that? Like, what kind of thing might they vote on?
Yeah, like the stage list for Ultimate. There's quite a bit of debate about that. Like, they can just decide what it is, you know? Like, do you want to have a quad stream? Do you want it to be commentated or not commentated? Do you want to have a secondary stream that has no commentary? All that sorts of stuff. Yeah, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I think you could do. Melee rule set, right? Like, I don't know. We can reopen up wobbling.
yeah. Okay, I don't know. I feel like if I say this, like, somebody's going to get mad somewhere. But I really liked what... Oh, my God, their names escaped me. Hitch and his crew... oh my God, what is the name of their crew? It's three letters. whatever.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that gang. Oh my god, what is the name of their crew? I'm just gonna look it up real quick. It's on his Twitter. I got it.
Oh, Optic? Is that who you're
talking about? Yeah, Optic, but they have like a crew within Optic.
Okay.
TST, Team Summertime. Team Summertime. Team Summertime is the name of them. TST. When they ran the off season, I really liked the whole Mute City thing. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it didn't really influence the tournament actually competitively very much at all. But there were a couple funny matches. No one really complained about it. I acknowledge things might have been very different if Hungrybox was there. I get it. Some characters are really strong there. But anyway, whatever. I really liked it, and they did some really cool stuff that tournament. So
if you think about it, how much more Mickey Mouse is Mute City than Unfrozen Stadium? I'm here to ask the questions.
And me and PB used to play on that stage in tournament. That's true. If anything, it's like, it's not that it's Mickey Mouse so much as it's really strong for certain matchups.
Yeah. Unbalanced.
Unbalanced is how I feel, but
that makes sense.
I mean, I don't know. It worked out for that tournament. I remember Amsa didn't even end up playing. I think he didn't play on it, like in top 16. Like no one took him to it, and he didn't take anybody there. So it just was kind of a non-issue, you know? For the purposes of that tournament, it kind of worked out to where it didn't. I think it didn't affect things too much. But, there was the Falcon crew battle. I thought that was a really cool. They did some really neat stuff. I hope that they, do something like that again, especially.
Yeah. It was almost like a GDQ type thing, right? They had like live donation incentives for certain stuff. Yeah.
They did. And then I had to literally Nickelodeon slime Vish. Because
we love that.
Which was great. Turns out that stuff is edible.
I forget exactly what it's made of, but it's like household food ingredients, right?
That's
like,
good.
Yeah. It's kind of like cake, not batter, but it's like cake frosting.
Yeah.
It's not as horrible. I don't know, whatever. I mean, depends on your definition of. Yeah, Vish was sticky and stuff, but at least it's kind of like, well,
at least it's not toxic sludge or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I didn't know what that stuff was when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So, but, no, that was dope. And yeah, I feel like there's a lot of potential for this kind of thing. I guess I should ask you too, before we get into the callers. Yeah, I mean, are you like, are you still doing Smash Camp and stuff like that? Like, are you still looking to?
Yeah, Smash Camp is it's coming up. It's in a couple weeks from now. So I'm going to be running that.
Now?
Yeah.
Let me look at the calendar. Hang on.
Registration's really? Open if you want to go. You're welcome to come through.
Holy smokes. Okay.
Yeah, well. It's April 15th and 16th. So yeah, it's coming up. So that's happening. I don't know. Probably gonna work on some other event concept stuff. To be honest, Smash Camp's a tough one, and we're starting to run into some stuff there. Like, it's not cool to run a tournament 2 hours from the airport. That's a big constraint. Right. It's hard capped at 300 for the rest of the time. So I don't know. I might be looking to do some stuff that has less constraints like that in the future. This is the preview.
Luck.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm at.
I'm very excited. We're all very excited, I think, to see what you do next and stuff like that. Before we get to the callers, we'll check out the community voice from last week. And Mikey, feel free to weigh in as well on.
For sure.
Oh my god, who did we have on last week? Why do I have the shortest memory? Quinn! Oh yeah, we had Walt.
And Walt asked,
What kind of content. This is kind of pertinent actually, because it's similar to the event, kind of the event space. But Walt basically asked what people think are niches in Melee content that aren't really being served right now. So yeah, let's see what some of the people out there said. Andrew Kenny. Why does that name sounds familiar? Andrew
yeah, I feel
Kenny.
Like we had him last week.
Did we?
Well, not on the show, but I think we had his comment featured.
Oh, okay. Well, Andrew Kenny, the man with two first names. I think content-aimed beginners is sort of underrepresented nowadays, weirdly. Not like how to play X or how to follow this practice routine, but something aimed at newbies to simply get them hyped on the game. Why X is the coolest character in Melee?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, I do, you know, I saw something on YouTube this week on my front page that I thought, I didn't click on the video, but I really appreciated that it was there. Because it was not a particularly old, it was a pretty relatively new video, and it was called The Only Wave Dashing Guide You'll Ever Need. And it's got like 10,000 views. I was like, okay. So whoever's working on that, yeah, it was not a very old video. Okay, it's less than a year old. Learning Melee from Scratch is the channel. Nice. I guess I should shout them out. So Learning Melee from Scratch is a channel that that exists for, I guess, for newbies. And they've got some funny looking thumbnails, so maybe y'all could go check them out. But yeah, I respect that answer a lot.
Yeah, and I do think that's good. And I think it was actually funny because I think when we were talking about content, like in the community a couple years ago, we were like, oh, well, there's so much of that. And I guess everyone heard that, like, okay, well, we're not doing it anymore. And so now I think, you know, there's also just less content focus in the scene generally right now, especially with everything going on with Summit. So I guess there's a lot of open space, which is kind of cool. You know, I think I'll move on to Ruben's answer here that says, I think something that could be really cool for content creation would be player features in a tournament run. Walt does something similar, but a lot of times we don't get to see individual players' performances under a microscope. It would bring a lot more attention to our high-level players, especially for people who can't watch top 128 or 64. There have been banger sets and deep runs by unexpected players, and allows the community to see those amazing sets that can be easily missed.
That's actually a really cool idea. So, like, from the point of view of, you know, what's a great example? Okay, Judebug had that Dog Kong run, or Judebug had the Dr. Mario run where he got 13th at Double Down last year.
Yeah.
And I feel like the problem with getting 13th is that you had to beat, like, four good players to get 13th, but probably none of those sets happened on stream.
Yeah.
And so, like, no one really knows about it unless they're nerds like me who look at StarTG. And usually, like, it gets shouted out on the commentary. Like, I think I probably even said, like, oh my god, Judebug got 13th this tournament with all Dr. Mario. Like, I probably said that on the commentary. Yeah. And then people go, wow, that's amazing, in the Twitch chat. But that's it, right? That's all they know. They don't really know who we beat. They don't know what the sets looked like. That actually is a really neat idea. If there was some way to, like, and dude, it could be total shitters. You know what's a great example actually of this? Which it really makes no sense that this happened. But when Ludwig was contacted by hotels.com, you know this story, Mikey. You were at that Evo.
I actually stayed in the hotel that was given to him by hotels.com at that tournament. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, and PB, you don't know the story, I take it.
I don't think so.
Right. So this was not, like, Ludwig hadn't started streaming yet.
Oh, they followed him around. They did.
No. He was a total, like, you know, he was our editor on the reads. And I mean, it wasn't like, I'm not going to say he was like a total noob or whatever. Like, he did stuff. He ran, you know, he helped out at Paragon. He ran my pool, but he wasn't a streamer. He wasn't like a famous person at all. And somehow some Twitter user with like 20 followers who claimed to work for hotels. It seemed really sketchy. He showed me the message. It was somebody from hotels.com, like, reached out to him and was like, hey, we're, you seem like you're a pro gamer. We want to record a piece for hotels.com ad. And it looked really fishy. Mike, you saw, you know what I'm talking about, right? The lady that hit him
up.
Yep.
It was like, what is this? And then they had a whole camera crew following around Evo. And, you know, he like did, I don't know, he got out of his pool.
He got like 2-2 or something.
Yeah, I thought it was 2-2.
Yeah.
They didn't show the gameplay. They just showed him playing, and he was like, yeah, I did well, because, like, you know, they didn't have to show it.
Right. And it's like a great video. It's actually a great video. That's probably the moment we actually should have just known that he would blow up. But, you know, imagine that level of, imagine that camera crew following around Junebug at Double Down. You know what I mean? Like, that would be so sick. I wish that this would be such a neat thing if it existed, but I guess it's hard to know, you know, it's hard to know who's going to have a breakout performance and when. Sometimes I guess you just don't have the footage.
It could be good to like compile multiple tournament runs together for people. Like, I feel like we don't really see that information in its entirety until like top 100 comes around and we get the blurb, you know?
Right. But and sometimes the blurb, yeah. like you're kind of like, oh, I haven't seen any of these sets. Like you there's know, frequently anyway. Yeah. PB. Mm-hmm.
No, I just wanted to kind of follow up on this and say, I think this is what people really liked about the DK documentary. I sat down and finally watched that behemoth last weekend because it's just been talked about so much. And you know what? Uh-huh. It actually does a lot of this. It talks about these players going through brackets, putting up these performances, tying them together in an interesting narrative. I actually thought it was a really nice watch.
That's kind of what the documentary is too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I think it's more work to tie everything together, but I also think there's more reward because people really like those stories. And I think the character-based stories or even some of the player-based stories like Junebug doing Dr. Mario for like a little while, because I think he had a couple good tournaments. I'm not sure if I fully remember, but you could make something maybe shorter about that people might like. I'm sure there's some way to do it. Or like you said, maybe with the camera crew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good answer here from our guy, Ruben Morales. And our last writer, Yinder Bixie. Yinder Bixie says, this is contender to is the idea for Melee content, but I'll echo it, getting top players to train. Yeah. Train popular creators or personalities, culminating a streamer rivals bash-style invitational event. Obviously, the logistics of this roadblock, willing and serious participants, both within and outside of the scene, incentive them to participate, where is the stream hosted, production costs, etc. But it keeps coming up in Melee streamer conversations are golden. Yeah.
Zero to hero, right?
Zero to hero, but more than just Atrioc that one time.
Yeah, somebody more famous.
how good did Atrioc... Did he end up getting decently good? Do we know? Did he become a hero? I guess he got top 32 at that one tournament.
I don't know. If I may add my two cents... We can do it
with a bunch of people. Yeah, go ahead.
My two cents for what we do to get people into Melee via content is TikTok. No platform on the... If it doesn't get banned... No platform on this earth shows you so much content in such a short period of time. We're like casting this wide net on TikTok where you can get somebody interested in idea in one minute of time there.
That is a very, very good point.
Yeah, proportionally very little effort. And there is some really good content out there. I forget exactly who makes these videos, but they are basically like 1 minute tiny video essays about like a cool thing about Melee. It's meant to be very like beginner accessible, and it is from the perspective of like, if you are interested in trying a new video game, here's why you should pick Melee, you know? Yeah. I think that's cash,
dude. Zets is still working on it.
I don't think Zets has been making too many Melee TikToks, but yeah.
Okay. I think it was Melee Casts was the name of it. Melee Casts? I don't know if I'm just Melee Smash Casts, maybe. I don't. Anyway, it was good stuff. Yeah, Smashcast is it. Literally the name of his account is here to get you to care about Super Smash Brothers Melee for the Nintendo GameCube.
Yeah, there you go.
He had a couple that went, you know, decently viral. I think he had, you know, like 500,000 view. I think one of them featuring, I think Pluppin. Looks like, is it Plupp? Yeah, he had a Plupp one that got 1 million views. That's cool.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most like digestible and most discoverable platform. YouTube Shorts, same thing, right? Like, yeah. Your short form content, I think, is the cash cow here for us to get new people involved.
Maybe you're right. People in the like the streaming space, and you know, YouTubers and stuff, they've kind of been. I mean, this is like a widely discussed thing that short form content is just kind of taking over, right? Like this is kind of everyone's pivoting to doing more and more clips, and yeah, so.
Yeah, our baby brains are getting less and less. You know, inclined to watch an hour and a half long documentary about a mid-tier character. Rough. Although it's not performing bad,
doing that really video's well. Got
quite a lot of views.
Yeah,
but maybe in 2025, who knows?
Yeah, we'll find out. I'm gonna have to check that. I'm gonna open up a tab with the Donkey Kong documentary and just go ahead and
you gotta bite the bullet. It's finally
surprisingly easy to watch.
I haven't watched it.
Okay, I'll just have it on You know, I'll play on ranked and have it on or something. All right, let's get our first caller to join us, and it's going to be Simon. What is up, Simon? Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good. First time caller, long time listener.
Nice. Oh, I love that. Love
Where are you calling in from?
Florida, North Florida.
Very nice. Very nice. What's your
Simon's profile picture? It also appears to be Tupac Shakur posted up with an anime girl, which is
strong.
Funny.
Yeah, with Alco from Melty Blood.
Nice.
If you guys remember the Melty has no drip meme.
Yes.
Alco and Tupac were in the same outfit.
We're in the same outfit. Yeah. They both have white tee and jeans.
Incredible.
That's funny.
Exactly. Yup, in my white tee. But my question is, with Summit not being around for the foreseeable future, will that casual couch commentary style go with it? And then my second part of that question is, when will we get to hear commentary from players, if not at a Summit style event? You know how like Leffen will run through pool A and then he'll sit and talk to you guys for the next two or three pools between practice sessions?
Yeah, that is cool, right? That's a good question. Mikey, I'll start by asking you, Mikey. I have this weird sense, and PB, you can actually weigh in here because the only Summit you really attended was like the first one, one of the really old ones. I have this weird sense that the earlier Summits had more top players on the couch than later ones.
That was my experience.
I do think that the tournament became more serious as it went along. You know, when we lost some of like our Evos and stuff like that, like. I think Summit kind of filled a gap where we, you know, needed to make, especially Smash Summit 11, I think really cemented this. Like, this is the tournament coming back, you know, like this is basically our Super Bowl for 2021 for Melee. Like we're gonna take it serious now, for real.
That was the one coming out of COVID.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I do think that it became more of a bona fide major tournament and less of this, like, okay, we're going to do some fun stuff here. This affected my job, right? I'm running around trying to get top players convinced to play side events and do Mafia and stuff. Like, come on, guys, this is what we're here for. But I mean, understandably, like, it became so important that like, they wanted to focus on winning. So, I do think that sort of casual, like, hop on the couch thing, while it was still there, was maybe a little bit, didn't happen quite as frequently as in earlier summits. I guess to the broader point, I mean, it seems like a lot of tournaments are having, you know, more than two people on commentary at any given time. Genesis did this, Collision did this. I think it's kind of something that people are more interested in now, from an organizer perspective. I like that kind of commentary a lot as somebody who is on the mic. That's just me. I do think that people are kind of trying to, I don't know, emulate Summit in that way with their tournaments to make things more interesting. And I think that will probably continue to happen here and there. Top players, it's a very good point. Like, how do you get them on board? Genesis tried to do this, but I think what you need is probably like a specific person on your staff to be going around and like asking top players whether or not they would like to, you know, be on the mic, which is hard, right? It's hard to wrangle them, and it's also kind of hard to justify an extra person just for that specific purpose. But I do think that it pays dividends. I mean, obviously, Armada is a good example, I guess. Like, having him on commentary for doubles, I think, was part of the reason why that was, sitting around 40,000 viewers for Genesis this year. I really enjoyed, this is a throwback, but at Full Bloom 5, Jack was getting people just for like one set at a time, like a character specialist, like, we're going to have a Fox set on stream next. Like, let's throw Mike Hayes up there for a set, something like that. I think that's really enjoyable and doable. But again, it's another thing that you have to like factor into your sort of resource trade-offs there.
Right. Yeah. I really like Armada did some singles too at Genesis. Yeah. He was on for Leffen versus Fiction. And he's done, you know, to Armada's credit, he's commentated, you know, back when he was active as a top player too. He did a couple events. I remember commentating with him at a DreamHack. I commentated with him at a CEO, I think. And there was a really fun TriCast setup we did at one of the 2GG tournaments, I think it was the Mango, where it was me and him and Alex 19. And that was really, really fun. That was one of my favorite TriCasts of all time, because on one hand, you've got Alex 19. And on the other hand, you've got Armada.
Yeah.
And Alex has a deep respect for Armada. So he's just like, and so Alex is just like, Armada would say something like really factual. And Alex would be like, you're so smart. You know, and it was just great. It was very wholesome. And to add to your point, yeah, it does seem like, I don't think the style is going to go away. But I think Summit had the recipe down, like in a very like intentional way, right? It was like, you know, it came to be known as, you know, and people knew when they tuned into the stream, they knew what they were getting, they knew what to expect. And I think that the one challenge that other tournaments are going to have is like, you know, are you going to be able to make, like, there's a reason everyone associates that style of commentary with Summit.
Yeah, it's kind of like, can we have couch commentary at home? And the couch commentary at home is me and Jack and Chroma talking about land value tax on the quad stream, you know?
Well, that sounds kind of tight, so don't sell yourself short, but I get what you're saying. Like Smash Official had couch commentary, but it's the kind of thing where I think you need to have somebody like thinking about who to have on and having a very intentional kind of vibe. And I think the viewers tuning in and kind of getting it, like with Summit, you tune in as a viewer and the average viewer gets it. And I think it's not always the case that some of the other tournaments that have tried to emulate the style of commentary, the viewers immediately tune in and they get it. But I think we could get there, but you know, someone's got to, like you said, with Jack running around at Full Bloom 5, someone's got to do it. Like someone's got to kind of, I guess, creative direct that. But I hope it doesn't go away. Yeah, it's fun to do. You know, it's different. How do you feel, PP? Do you, are you like a, you know, I don't know how I've never really gotten your thoughts on commentary a particular amount when it comes to this sort of thing.
Couch commentary. It's
you've done it.
I've done it. And people liked it when I did it for whatever that's worth, I guess. But
there you go.
It was also a mess doing it, but I think that's part of the point. I think it's supposed to kind of be a mess. It's supposed to show, you know, human conversation about things. It's not always as clear and cut and dry as, you know, how it's seen in the past some and how other esports might do it and everything like that. And, you know, I think highlighting that is a cool thing. And I agree with what you guys have said, that I don't think this is going away between, you know, state style events, invitationals. I think Minnesota's done them. I know Arizona's done them. I'm sure other states have done them that I'm, you know, not aware of. But I mean, Ludwig's events often do them, and I know he wants to run more. So there's a good chance that comes back. And then, of course, we got a shout out. I mean, we're on a Golden Guardians podcast right now, the Golden Gauntlet. I mean, they did.
Yep.
And as long as GG's here, which is, you know, seems pretty good, I'll knock on wood anyway. But, you know, it seems like we're guaranteed at least one of those a year. So that's nice. So I think it's still going to be around. Oh, what's up, Mikey?
I will say I think it's hard as like an open entry big tournament, you know, where everyone's coming to it. Mm-hmm, I think you should do as I say, not as I do here, because sometimes it's pools and you don't always end up talking about the match. But sometimes it's hard to have that sort of like conversational style of commentary when this is like the one moment that these people are going to get on stream for the whole event, right? Like you want to be deferential to them a little bit and show them a little bit of respect and talk about the match, Mikey, goddammit. Where at Summit, you know, we're going to see this so much throughout the weekend that you can sort of develop that a little bit more in a way that makes more sense and is not going to be as disrespectful to the players. But I think if you theme your event correctly, if you like get the vibe right, like you can kind of do that in a way that makes a little bit more sense, like maybe at a regional scale or, you know, or doing an invitational or something like that. Not to say that it's bad. I think that in certain contexts with and it's not every commentator, right, who's going to like right. doing that sort of style of commentary or have it be their strong suit.
And some viewers just aren't going to like it either. So I think there's pros and cons to both.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. Like I mentioned earlier, like Summit, it looks like a basement, right? So when you see four people talking on a couch, you understand, given that context, that makes sense, right? Like, this is the vibe that we're trying to create. So if you're going to do that, I always love an event with a theme, right? That's what I'm Smash Camp is what I'm all about, right? Like, if you're going to consider doing couch commentary, I invite you to make it part of a bigger sort of theme for your event and not just slap it onto what you have already existing. Well, I think that will
yeah.
help.
Yeah. Well yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true. I love that you said you worded it so nicely there. You said you love an event with a theme. See, when I was talking about off-season earlier, off-season was an event with a theme.
Yes. You know? It worked. Right? All of that stuff worked really well at off-season. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff is really, really cool, and I think there's a ton of potential. Golden
Guardians, yeah, that too. All of that makes sense within the context of the Golden Guardians event, right?
It does. And I hope, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the next one. I'm sure we're going to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, yeah, long story short, I don't think the style is going away, but, you know, I think the best version we've had so far, I think the most classic version we've had of it so far in the community is going away, but that doesn't mean that someone can't step up.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Maybe it could evolve or change. And one final thing about top players on the couch, and I know that is a challenging thing. I don't know. This might just be a cultural thing, but I think there has been more of a shift away from doing content and moving back to competing for a lot of players, especially in the past like year-ish or so, it seems. And so, you know,
I know what you mean.
Having that discussion again in the community to make things a little bit easier, so maybe we don't have to dedicate an extra staff member to go and wrangle people, right? And maybe players will like, okay, maybe I don't want to do this, right? Like maybe pro athletes don't want to do the interview after they lose, but it helps everyone and it's required and everyone understands that. Like in the same way, top players could say, okay, well, maybe I don't really want to get on the mic right now, but like if I just am on for like a few minutes and something funny happens, like that's really good for the scene, that's really good for this event, and so on. So just I wanted to kind of throw that out to have that consideration too, because I don't, you know, TOs have a lot to deal with already.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, thank you for your question, Simon. And yeah, let's if you got any shout outs you'd like to do, let's hear them.
Yeah, thanks for the thoughtful answer. And shout out to Gainesville Smash. Shout out to CAC doing big things. And shout out to Foreside Fights. I think that's just a really funny and good idea for a melee.
That's right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Take care.
I should point out that I will be on Foreside Fights this week alongside, I believe it's...
Ooh!
It's the lineup. Can I say what the lineup is?
Yeah, sure. We can leak here. We love an exclusive.
Okay. We love an exclusive. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be me and Bonfire and Spinda and Roma. So it should be a...
Oh, wow.
Should be a fun lineup. Although, I worry that I agree with all these people on too many things. I gotta say, I was thinking about it and I was like, I feel like I'm gonna like everything everyone has to say. So how do I? So then the question becomes, how do I stand out?
I don't know. I could see you and Tori getting into a little bit of a Fox Chic argument on the show.
No,
you know? I'm sure.
Here's the problem. Maybe you've heard me. I think I've said this on the reads, but when it comes to battles of ideology, I'm a Fox player. My hands are those of a Fox player. When I sit down at the setup, I pick Fox. But when it comes to battles of ideology, I'm actually kind of a cheek soul.
You're right. You don't tweet like a Fox main, you know?
If Fox players and Sheik players get into an argument, I usually take the side of the Sheik players.
Interesting. Okay, so maybe it's Spinda. Maybe Spinda is the one who goes to bat for Fox there.
There, yeah, maybe it is. Well, we'll have to see what happens. Thursday at
6:30, 6 Pacific, yeah.
Pacific, yeah, 9 Eastern. Well, let's get our next caller on the program, and it looks like it's going to be Calcium. What's up, Calcium? What you got for us? Calcium might be muted. No one knows.
Doesn't look like it to me. Oh, there we are.
Oh, what's up?
Hi.
Oh,
what's up?
What's up? I can hear you now.
Where are you calling in from? What's your question for us today, Calcium?
Hey, calling in from Portland, Oregon. And,
oh, hell yeah.
Question for today is, what are your hot takes, dark horses, or major upsets do you see happening this weekend? Major upset.
Major upset. That is this weekend.
It is this weekend.
That is this weekend. April 1st and 2nd. Hopefully it's not an April Fool's joke. That'd be messed up. Who's but going? Yeah, it's a lot of people, right? I think it's like Zane's going, Amsa, Cody, HBox, Plup, Oregon, right? Go ahead, Mikey.
No, I was gonna say Plup not always guaranteed to show up to Oregon events, by the way.
That's a good point.
No JMOOC, is that true? I'm woefully unprepared to answer this question, I have to tell you.
I pulled it up. It's easy. You know what? I'll just link it in the
please do
chat. Yeah, I put it in the submit topics here channel so y'all can check it out. Looks like we got Zane, Cody, HBox, Omsa, Plup, Axe, Laud, and I'm assuming Kadorn will be the 8th seed, but you know, it could end up being like a Fiction or an S2J.
I'm scanning through this list and I don't see Donkey Kong, but that doesn't mean he won't be there lower than this and make a surprise run.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
I need a second documentary and I need it now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a good lineup here. We just had a really dope melee tournament in NorCal that Homemade Waffles ran last weekend when he was out here that SFAT won over S2J. And actually, I think third, fourth, and fifth was, I think third was Ralph, fourth was Broomed, and fifth was a tie between Spark and Pew Pew, who actually entered.
Dang.
It was pretty wild. And he had a nail biter set with Ralph.
Really good for SFAT too.
Really good for SFAT. Yeah, I gotta say SFAT looked really strong. SJ also looked really good. Took a set. I felt like both SFAT and SJ were playing really, really well. My bold prediction is I feel like Johnny's due for like a crazy performance. I think Johnny's gonna I think he's gonna beat like one top player and get like top four. That's my not so brave take. Not so brave because like it's brave because like top four is like the seeds to like Zane, Cody, you know, HBox, Opsa, maybe Plup. But like I think Johnny's due for a like remember Shine last year? Remember Johnny had that fucked up crazy Shine tournament where he almost like won it kind of.
Yeah.
I think we're due for one of those. That's my prediction.
I'm looking at this list and one name in particular is really standing out to me here, and that's Magi. She beat Fiction, I think it was a couple weekends ago, and I think her results have just been getting better and better. So I think she's actually someone that really could make a deeper run in the top eight. Of course, you know, there's Laud, there's Kadoran, you know, right? There are some players that I think can still give Magi like a really hard time, of course, not to mentioning, you know, the top seeds.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, given more favorable lower brackets and even versus Fiction, she can win. I don't know if she's guaranteed to, but she at least had, you know, the edge over him last time they played. So I think she's someone really to look at here. She could break deeper into the top eight. I'll go pretty far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that we're going to pick up a little bit where we left off from Big House 10 and Smash Summit 14, and Soonsei is going to top six this tournament.
Ooh, Soonsei, great pick.
Great pick. That guy's really good.
He's nuts.
And every set he wins, it's just like, yeah, he just outplayed the other guy. And every set he loses, it's like, dude, he could have won that shit. Like, every set he loses.
You remember the OMSA set at Big House?
Yes.
What a clencher that one was.
That guy has some fucking clenchers.
And I'm going here. Thing. He could get the run back.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Who's going to win it? Who do you guys think?
Oh.
Cody Schwab.
That's a good answer.
Cody Schwab's got good matchup splits for this tournament in particular, I think.
Because there's no Mangster. Right, Cody. If anyone's beaten Cody,
no JMOOC
right now. No JMOOC, no Mangster. Dude, it's crazy that JMOOC is just he's just favored against the Foxes.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say he's been struggling with some of the Falcos, at least online. So again, talking about Magi, maybe if she's, I don't know what the seeding is, but if she's seeded into Cody, that could be good for her.
Wait, can you tell me about that? What do you mean he's struggling with the Falcos online? What does
he's
that mean?
Been, he's been, I don't think he's been losing, like, I don't think he's been losing coin. No, did he lose a coin box? I don't remember. I know he's at least lost sets in some of the coin boxes to Magi and Ginger. And Ginger, of course, is here, but... Magi,
I didn't know that.
Yes, so that's a storyline going into this. How much Cody's not just with Mango, but some of the other Falcos even have been giving him trouble. So something else to consider. And Fiction's going as well. And I don't know how much those two have played, but maybe that's something else to consider too. So
yeah,
it's an interesting tournament for Cody. I think you know there's easily a world where he wins it, but there's also you know what's the earlier bracket look like that maybe is a question. I'm sure he's conscious of that and is preparing for it, but you know, still something to think about.
It is a bit of a bummerooski that we don't have the seeds. You know, we don't have like mm-hmm. it's easier to do
they
predictions and stuff like that. Oh, they're up.
I know. Connor tweeted that they were up a couple of days ago.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't have it as easily. I can't click on the bracket thing on StarGG and then just have a bracket and then see who's playing. Or can I? Actually, can I do that? Is that up?
Maybe yeah, I think up. The bracket's
got a projected.
Oh my god! I'm gaslight girl bossing. Hang on a minute. Okay. Cody has.
Ooh, Plup winner semis is kind of tough.
Who knows
what Plup's going to do?
Even Soonsay earlier is still, I mean, Soonsay is just super good. I would say Cody's
Soonsay can upset any Fox. I mean, Soonsay hasn't lost a lot.
I would kind of be surprised if Magi beats Laud, but if she does, then that would
right.
be...
Right, then that's the top 16.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cody and Magi.
And
if Axe beats Fiction, we have Zane Axe, which, you know, I think Zane's mostly been working on Sheik. We saw on stream he's been getting ICs he's been practicing ICs. And so how much is he working on Pikachu, even though their sets have been close? Something else.
Fiction straight up beat Axe at Scuff World Tour and then through. So who knows what happened there?
Right. Not guaranteed. Oh,
yeah. That was a set.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I
think she just launched himself off stage, and Axe was like, "All right, I guess I'm taking this free up air now and winning."
Yeah, he really, he really West Balls it.
He did. Yeah, that Falco turned from blue to red real quick.
Yeah, that just can happen, and dude, especially against Pikachu, like Pikachu. Wow,
it's the danger zone.
Yeah,
it's the danger zone. Yeah, no, this is a fun bracket. There's actually a lot of, I feel like the top 32, top 64 zone has a lot of Kadoran Salt. I don't know. That feels like a very difficult, you know what I'm saying?
I've watched them play online some, and it looks, from the little I've seen of it, it looks quite favored for Kadoran, but Salt is improving. Yeah, but Salt is improving pretty rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's different. Maybe things have changed. Maybe Salt has a really good day and Kadoran doesn't. Or maybe, you know, they've played again recently and I've missed it and it's been more even. But I just know, I think like a couple of weeks ago, I think they were playing or something. And that was my impression. But of course, there are differences online, offline too. Like just like HBox will have differences online, offline. So maybe that plays a role as well.
Yep. Well, but I got to say, this is a tournament that I'm a little bit sad. I'm not going to. I decided to. I just ended up not going. But I do love Portland and I love Connor and the crew. So I'm going to probably try to make it to the next one if there's a next one. I'll definitely be gooning in Twitch chat.
Oh, yes, sir.
I know Nunn will
be in there. He loves being in Twitch chat, stirring stuff up.
Yeah. Hey, I see Mikey in the bracket. Is this you, Mikey?
No, that's Washington Mikey.
Mike Lau?
What? I don't know who that is. There's just a Marth player from Washington named Mikey.
Marth. Okay.
Yeah.
Shame. That's a shame. You never know these days.
Yeah.
I got really excited because they seeded you to make it pretty far. I was like, oh, wow.
Mikey's good. Yeah, Mikey's really good.
Yeah.
Washington. No. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we might get... I see Iceman in the bracket. That's an exciting one.
Ooh, I feel like we haven't seen Iceman in a hot minute.
Haven't seen Iceman in a hot minute.
No pun intended.
Right. Right. I had to think about that one.
Good coverage. Good coverage.
Yeah. We've got
some options flex, baby.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. What about you, Calcium? I mean, we've all given our little takes. What do you think we should be, what do you think the people should be looking out for this weekend in Major Upset?
Well, there's the biggest upset here. We can have S-Fat stops the bleeding against Zane.
God damn.
Zane loser's run to victory.
Okay. Oh man, we're still joking about it.
I will tell you right now, if Fantasy Melee was still popular, I know there'd be someone that would be saying it can't happen again. There's no way it happens again, and they run it. I know they'd be running.
Dude,
I hope we
get Zane S-Fat again. Oh, wow. I miss it. It's been a while.
I think they're seeded.
A couple of years. Huh?
I think they're seeded to play.
They are seeded. Zane, S-Fat does have to beat Scurzo, and Zane has to beat Fishbait, and then it happens.
There we go.
Well.
Surely this will be competitive no matter what.
Yes.
Yes.
I think S-Fat's good against Marth. I do. I do legitimately think he's good against Marth. I think it's just Zane. Yeah. I would go so far to say Marth is like one of his best matchups. It's just that Zane brings another level of je ne sais quoi to the table. That's all it is.
I'm just glad he stopped counterpicking FD, although maybe he does it again. He's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not scared of you.
Yeah.
And then he goes Link and wins because Zane hates Link. That'd be a turn of events.
Zane does hate Link. Zane does hate Link. Thank you for your question, Calcium. And do you have any shout outs for us on your way out?
Yeah. Shout out to Portland Melee scene. Everybody tune in to Ass Adam Smash series.
That's
on Friday
right.
night for a pre-major local. And
is that the tournament that they had a trailer and then there was like people showed up, someone showed up to a house and then there were the top players in the basement and they had, mm-hmm. you know, is it, you know what I'm talking about? Is that the one? Oh, that's dude. One. Okay. Yeah. Y'all are doing great stuff out there. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. The production they got, I mean, the trailers they put out are top notch for sure. And I got another shout out to my buddies Max and Connor. But that's it. Now, of course, everybody, you know, watch Major Upset as well.
Of course, nice. Of course.
Do we know what channel that's going to be on this weekend?
BTS Smash.
BTS Smash, baby. Twitch.tv/BTS Smash.
We're still out here.
That's good.
Is the channel just going to be able to stick around, or what's happening with that?
I don't know exactly what we're going to do for the time being. Still exists. So.
Okay. Yay.
Good. We shouldn't.
Hey.
I feel like we can't let it go, right? Like it's too powerful.
400,000 followers. So it's quite a lot.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, thank you, Calcium. Have a good one.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. And that's, I think, it for our callers today. Thank you again, Mikey, for joining us. Really always a pleasure to have you. I guess the only thing left to do is if you got anything you want to toss to all the people out there, the listeners on YouTube, time for the community voice.
Oh, gosh. What job should I do next? I'm just kidding.
Actually, it was a question I was thinking about asking, basically.
Hey, listen, if anyone actually does want to like hire Mikey, if there's anybody in the...
Yeah, while we're stalling a little bit, Dumb so he boy. Thinks about a community voice, what skills did you gain while you were at Summit? What employable skills would you use?
I made up a side event called Wheel of Bullshit, and that was a really fun time.
That's a good one. I like
that. That is legitimately good. The employers need to take note of how cool that is.
And then we convinced Coinbase to sponsor the segment.
Oh yeah, was it specifically the segment?
Yes,
that's
it. Was the Coinbase Wheel of Bullshit?
That is very funny.
That's so right. Sick.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
I don't know.
Story for another time.
You just built different.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about content in this week's Community Voice, so maybe we should talk about live broadcast instead. What Mr. Beast style scenario would you like to see Super Smash Bros. Top players and personalities in?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, okay. When we say a Mr. Beast style situation,
so like you can't last to leave the circle gets $100,000, like
something
that,
like that. Yes.
Or is it like, is it melee themed? I'm just curious if it matters.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
Like because we could do like Smash community versus like P plus, and it's like last to leave the circle, right? Instead of like I think he did like parents versus their children or whatever, which was weird. But we could do that, which is less weird. We could do our thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Something like that. So I want to see these guys in a situation. What is it? Radio Melee Watchers.
I like that. I like you love a good situation.
Yeah.
I do. All right. Well, I really like that question. And I'm sure our kooky listeners will think of something for us. So we're going to check out your answers to the question next week. And until then, thank you so much again, Joint, for joining us, Mike. Yeah, I think that's all we got for the program today. Thanks everybody who tuned in live. If you if you're a YouTube listener, you should pop by one of the streams, one of these Tuesdays, every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on Twitch/ToefBBQ and Twitch/PPMD. Nice. And for now, we're out. So this has been Radio Melee. Peace out, y'all.
Later.